You're listening to AliCast, a deep dive into innovative and emerging trends in e-commerce, online payments, and digital entertainment, brought to you by Alibaba Group. I'm Julie Huang. Here on AliCast, one of the themes we like to focus on is how young brands are able to grow globally. Today, we're talking with Julian Race, founder of Super Ordinary, a brand accelerator based in Shanghai that's helping global beauty brands make their mark in China. Race launched Super Ordinary in 2017, and the company has established itself very quickly in that short amount of time, working with innovative young beauty brands like Supergoop, Biossance, and Drunk Elephant, and helping them build their presence in China. And in an interesting move, recently Super Ordinary also launched in the US to help brands build their portfolio and presence in the crowded Amazon marketplace. We'll ask Julian if he'll be applying some of the learnings from China's e-commerce operations to the businesses they will help on Amazon. Julian Race, founder and CEO of Super Ordinary, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, before I let you answer my question in the intro, I wanted to start off by talking about your personal career first. Now, for most of your career, what can be considered Act 1 and Act 2, that was solidly in finance. How did you suddenly hone in on the beauty market and e-commerce? There must be a story there.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm really, really excited to talk about, introduce Super Ordinary to everyone. You know, it's been quite a journey. I'm 46 years old. You know, I grew up in Asia most of my life. My mother's Australian, my father's Chinese. The beginning part of my career, I started at my first hedge fund when I was 27 years old. I didn't know that this concept of starting your own fund management company could happen. And I was very lucky and fortuitous at the time. And what I did at the hedge fund was really focused on, you know, big trends that were happening in the market globally and how to express my views around those trends. And that really is, I guess, like you said, the act one of to where I am now. So I was always a very curious person and really, started to develop skills to understand like big patterns. I got into the beauty market in 2010 when I first invested in a company called Luxola.com. It was really e-commerce 1.0, where it was distributing beauty brands in Southeast Asia. That business, you know, at the time never made any money, but it really opened my eyes to how, you know, the beauty market was so diverse and the ecosystem back then was very early stages. That business got acquired by LVMH and became Sephora's digital presence in Southeast Asia. So that's a long way around, but I got myself into the beauty industry then.
How would you describe Super Ordinary? I mean, how does the very clever and original name reflect your vision for the company?
After Luxola, I had some more experiences in the beauty market. So I went from there to actually start my own beauty brand, which was called Skin Laundry. Skin Laundry was a business which was focused on bringing laser facials to the mass market. So rather than going to an expensive dermatologist, we would provide, you know, quick facial treatments for, you know, $50 to $70 per treatment. I really took, you know, time to learn how to build a brand from scratch, which was, you know, it's very, very challenging. It takes 5 years to build a brand. And when I was in Hong Kong opening the business there, I noticed in China at the time, there were many local brands and some of the big brands, but none of the exciting digital native brands that we saw in the US weren't available in China. So at the time, to enter into the China market, you could bring brands in via the cross-border model. And this is a channel which allows beauty brands to get into the China market very quickly using platforms such as Tmall Global. And, Super Ordinary, the name came around for really describing bringing brands to these inaccessible markets and making it, you know, super easy, super ordinary.
One thing that we know is businesses that want to sell in China via Alibaba's platforms like Tmall Global and Tmall often work with a third-party service provider, or what we call TPs, to help them with distribution and marketing. How is Super Ordinary different from a TP?
I think TP or trade partner is a word that really describes the operational aspect of operating a brand in China. I think you know, in our day and age, it takes a lot more to build a brand in a foreign market, especially when there is very little information around that brand. So in China, you know, we're really starting from scratch. So brand marketing is at the heart of what Super Ordinary does. So building a brand from zero to one. And I think what we've done at Super Ordinary is really take a view that we are the brand partner, the brand manager in that local market. So we're not a trade partner. We really see ourselves as the extension of that brand's office, whether they're from, you know, New York or LA. We see ourselves as that satellite partner. And everything that we do on a daily basis, we feed back to the brand so we can make more informed decisions about how to build that brand. So I think what Super Ordinary really does and why we continue to perform well is that we see ourselves as, you know, that true partner that does all the brand marketing. We do the campaigns, we pick out the KOLs, we localize the brand in the manner that we think resonates well with the end consumer.
How do you then vet the brands you decide to take on? Are there, you know, some common characteristics you look for in that brand that you think would help them succeed in China?
That's a great question, Julie, because, you know, when we first came I moved to China back in 2017, it wasn't clear to me what would work in China. And, you know, it was a little bit of, you know, shooting in the dark. And, you know, just because I thought it would work in China doesn't mean that it would. So I had to, you know, take a step back and leave everything at the front door, so to speak, when analyzing brands. Today, we take a very different approach. It's a very much involved in terms of desktop research, analyzing the product, analyzing the brand DNA. The hero products not often are the same as they are in the West. Sometimes we have different products that do better in the local market, and yeah, that's just purely because of, you know, is skin texture or you know, the goals that the end consumer is looking for. So right, what we've done, and I think this is probably something that we go back to, is a lot of homework and due diligence. But at the end of the day, it ends with the product. The product has to work and has to do what it says. I would say the majority of our portfolio is skincare, followed by hair care and color. So we work with fantastic brands like Milk Makeup, Olaplex, Drunk Elephant, Pharmacy, Supergoop, and The Ordinary. Some really interesting brands across very different price ranges.
China is a very fast-moving market, and it could be hard to understand. I thought it was interesting on your site that you have a saying that the world moves fast, but Super Ordinary moves faster. So that in China. So what does faster mean? Is it truly just speed, or is there another approach you take sort of to keep up with the trends, keep up with Chinese consumers?
You're actually the first person to ever ask me this, but I think this is a good point, because when we work in China, I think that the biggest challenge I found was that it's a 24/7 work environment where you have to react extremely quickly to any of the noises or signals that you get into the market. And that can mean many things. So that could be, you know, jumping on an opportunity to work with a live streamer through the Alibaba platforms to access a certain customer. It could mean, you know, understanding a signal in social listening where the consumers are looking for hyaluronic acid or Manuka honey. So when you work in an environment where, you know, data and, you know, information signals are so quick, you can't operate that type of business model from being, you know, in a foreign market. You can't be based in Sydney or Paris or London to operate the Chinese model. So Super Ordinary has built strength from within. We have, you know, close to 300 employees in Shanghai, all local, who have been working in the beauty industry for many, many years. And I think, you know, having that, you know, deep bench knowledge and know-how of understanding the consumer has really helped us move fast. And when I say we move faster, you know, one of the things I say to my colleagues is that, you know, we always have to be two steps ahead. You know, live streaming is something that we had to heavily invest in 3 years ago, and it paid off very well because, you know, now live streaming is a very large part of our business model. And so we're always looking for different platforms, different different ways to connect to the consumer, but also different ways to market to that consumer. So, you know, it's an exciting model, and an even more exciting market. Now it's the biggest market in the world. And, you know, I feel like we were very lucky in timing.
Like you said, there's sort of different tactics and different ways to sort of introduce the products now. Where does Alibaba fit in that? You know, we created e-commerce in China. You know, are we still sort of the foundational platform that you work off of? For folks who don't know, can you sort of give an idea of how exactly does Alibaba enable you to do what you do for brands?
You know, when I first came to Shanghai and started investigating, you know, how to work in China, very quickly, Alibaba showed me that the concept of websites really didn't exist in China at the time. So for a brand to demonstrate and introduce their products, it was through Tmall. And Tmall, for those who don't know, is the main platform. It's Amazon on steroids. It really has everything under one roof. And when I think about a multi-brand store, it's really what Tmall is. Tmall is a multi-brand store that has individual storefronts for every single brand that's out there. And you can further bifurcate the model because Tmall was broken down into Tmall Domestic and Tmall Global. Tmall Domestic is for brands that exist locally, and Tmall Global are for cross-border brands, which are most of the brands that we operate in China. When we first started, Alibaba was integral for us to open up individual stores for each of our brands. And the team at Alibaba have been instrumental in helping us build our Super Ordinary's business. And for those who don't know about the other parts of the Alibaba ecosystem, there is a platform called Taobao. Taobao is also an extremely exciting platform and does not only domestic business, but also cross-border. Taobao typically targets different tier cities within China, so tier 2 to tier 5, but it's still an extremely important platform. So when we think about, you know, Super Ordinary and where the customer spends most of its time, Tmall Global, Tmall Domestic, and Taobao are the main drivers of e-commerce in China.
Are there any particular tools in Alibaba's ecosystem that you think has been particularly effective? Is it live streaming? Definitely. You know, I think people are hearing more and more about that and sort of like, what makes our live streaming so special? They think this is something that we have in the US already.
You know, I think this is a topic that we're going to hear more and more of over the next 6 to 12 months, because I believe live streaming is something that's very particular to the China market and not to the US market. And the reason why is I think that the consumer is very different. And at the end of the day, the consumer likes to be sold in a particular manner in each market. So live streaming is very much entertainment driven. And anyone that's watched any live streaming in China will realize how insanely addictive it is. And, you know, the live streamers are phenomenally talented. And it's for them, it's a business. It's not just, I'm coming on a Tuesday evening, I'm going to be on for an hour. These live streamers are online 365 days a year, and they start at 6 p.m. and they finish at 2 a.m. in the morning. People tune in and they watch religiously. And it's truly being not just looking at the products, but you're supporting these superstars. And the sales volumes that come out are insane as well. So, you know, Super Ordinary has extremely strong ties with, you know, the very biggest and best live streamers such as Austin Lee and Via, and, you know, and we have incredible partnerships. So any brand that works with Super Ordinary, we often work with these very large live streamers to build awareness in the local market.
Diving into some specifics, can you share some highlights from past campaigns with brands that you're particularly proud of?
I can't really name names in the volumes that they do, but I can tell you that, you know, it's not uncommon for us to do 100,000 units of a product within, you know, a couple of minutes, which translates into, you know, $4 to $7 million. So these types of numbers are not uncommon in China, but, you know, would be very uncommon in the West. The revenues that are, you know, we see from the big shopping festivals are only getting bigger and bigger. And that's where I think, you know, the excitement of the Chinese market is only going to continue. The consumer there is extremely different. They love to try new products. They love to discover and be the first ones to find that product. And, you know, Super Ordinary, we love being the ones to introduce those products to the consumer. So whilst we're going through a very difficult change in the world today coming out of the pandemic, you know, the consumer has not changed. That, you know, beauty is one of the categories that continue to get stronger and wider and larger all the time.
You know, it sounds really exciting and great, but does it scare you sort of like, how do you keep this up and how do you set expectations? You know, is that a concern when you are dealing with brands that they come in and they expect these kind of numbers?
Yeah, we spend a lot of time educating the founders, the managers of the brands, because whilst the market's big and growing, competition has got a lot more fierce and there are so many brands coming into the market. Also because of what's happened with the relaxation of animal testing regulations in China. So I think it's fair to say that to launch a brand in China has got a lot more expensive. So, and you have to be a lot more patient. So I think telling a brand to, you know, launch in China, I think there's a few things that I would highly recommend before they do so, is to really think carefully why they're launching in China and what kind of partner they're looking for. Because it's not a straight line. Most brands don't hockey stick in the first 6 months. And it means that you have to take a longer term view. Because I think the brands that truly do succeed in China are the ones that really understand, you know, the USP of their brand in the local market. So does the brand resonate? And if not, why not? And what products should work? So, you know, we may have a product in China that doesn't seem to work, and it's because sometimes we haven't done the homework to really get that product ready for market. So it's not just about sending your products across and putting them on Tmall. It's really about understanding why the consumer needs that product and how do you deliver that message.
It's interesting. You mentioned sort of the Chinese consumer as a driving force a couple times now. And I feel like the retail and e-commerce landscape in China is a bellwether for global retail. So do you think that sort of in China e-commerce, are the changes and sort of the pace driven by consumers, or is it the tactics and the platforms driving it and sort of the consumers adopt it and there you go?
I have a pretty strong view about this. And this is something that Super Ordinary is thinking about globally. And, you know, this kind of dovetails a little bit into why we're on Amazon as well. You know, traditionally, when you set up a beauty brand, the beauty brand would build its direct-to-consumer website, start producing some content on Instagram and Facebook and building the brand. And then eventually, when it's big enough, it would choose a partner such as Sephora or Ulta in the US. It potentially would go to Australia with Mecca. And we truly think that the world has changed, driven by the platform business, particularly. What really led me to this business model was what was happening with Tmall. And I truly believe that the consumer is spending more and more time on platforms because of the nature of the convenience of a platform. When you're expecting your product to be on your doorstep in 30 minutes, who's going to be able to deliver that service? It's really Alibaba. So if you're not having the infrastructure to support that customer, I find it very hard for, like, even your own direct-to-consumer website to compete with, you know, these large platforms. So our view is that, you know, platforms are where the consumers are going to be in the future. They're already here in Asia. You know, it's 100% where beauty transactions are taking place online. But Southeast Asia, it's 60 to 75% on platforms. And in the US, you know, Amazon only represents, I would say, a third of all beauty transactions. So we see that as a big opportunity for more and more beauty transactions to happen on Amazon in the future because of that convenience factor. So we think that, you know, whilst the consumer is growing globally, we think that where the activity is going to convert in the future is really going to be on the platforms.
Now, there's been a very exciting new business development for Super Ordinary. And recently, you expanded your business model to help U.S. brands navigate their presence on Amazon. What prompted this move? And how will your learnings in China and with Alibaba inform that work with Amazon?
I think what differentiates what we do at Super Ordinary is we only do beauty. We really truly want to become the global one-stop partner for your beauty brand to go into the global markets and on platforms. So really what we wanted to do was take some of the learnings that we realized in China on how we operate a beauty brand and the flagship store and apply it to Amazon. There are a lot of rogue sellers that buy products and resell them on Amazon. And what we wanted to do was really clean up that environment for our brand partners so that they have a clean environment and that we would own the majority of the buy box. So whenever you're purchasing a product on Amazon, you would know that they are authenticated and coming from a trusted partner like Super Ordinary. So Amazon's our first foray into another market, another country, and you know, it won't be long until we start moving into other markets globally.
Will you use some of the tactics that you've used with growing brands in China specifically and try that with the brands on Amazon?
Yeah, I think our view generally is that we look at the return on our ad spend, and we're always, I mean, from my hedge fund days, and we're very much a data-driven business where we look for opportunities where on conversion on each of the SKUs that we operate. So we run a lot of technical analysis in terms of seeing which products are converting and why, and the ones that aren't, you know, is there an opportunity to expand them into different quadrants of the market? So a lot of those learnings are being applied to Amazon. And I think what we do as a business is, you know, we typically are very aggressive in terms of our ad spend. So we over-index on spending, and that's kind of where we've driven a lot of our results. So going forward, I think, you know, we're looking for opportunities to really grow the beauty category on Amazon. And, you know, we think that, you know, the consumer is definitely becoming more and more acceptable to, you know, buying their beauty products on Amazon.
Now, convenience is a main driver of going on Amazon, but what else are consumers looking for? I mean, what do you wish the platform could offer in terms of functionality and capability? Is there anything that Amazon can learn from the Alibaba playbook?
If you look at the interface of Amazon compared to Alibaba's platforms, I mean, it's almost like night and day. There's, you know, the UX for many of the storefronts or the product listings hasn't changed in many years, even though it has been subtly changed. But if you look at a Tmall flagship store, it's an extremely luxurious, rich experience with video content. And, you know, it's very much text heavy in China. So the consumer looks less visually, but more at the information behind it. Whereas in Amazon, there's, you know, it's only recently that, you know, they've introduced all the different functionalities like video and so forth. But, you know, we're still missing a lot of the additional functions like live streaming, even though live streaming has not been successful so far in the US. So when you're on a Taobao page or a Tmall page, you know, there's an icon that floats around that you can click at any one time and watch the latest live streaming videos. And I think that type of entertainment really is something that's missing. I think when you think about Amazon, in my buying behavior, when I go to Amazon, I'm typically already know what I'm looking for when I'm buying on Amazon. So if I'm looking to buy, I don't know, toilet paper, I'll go to Amazon, click on toilet paper and buy it. So, you know, you've already been sold and you already know what you're going to buy. When you're going on Tmall, it's still a lot of discovery is really exciting on Tmall. And I think there could be a better way to discover products on Amazon. So what we call the top of the funnel, which is when you're really creating a lot of awareness around the brand, I think there can be better ways to, you know, communicate to the end consumer. So there's a lot to be done. And that's why I think it's exciting, because Super Ordinary takes a very long-term view and wants to be there operating and teaching and learning and feeding back information to, you know, the Amazon team of what we think could be better for the consumer. So, you know, it's an iteration all the time, but, you know, I think we're just getting started.
You have such great visibility into a cross-section of working with different brands. So for younger, newer brands now to succeed in the US, China, wherever it may be, because you're working with them all over the world, what are some sort of three or four tips that you find yourself always sharing with them as they're growing their business?
Yeah, I think the world has changed a lot. And anyone could start a brand these days. So I think you should always have a very unique, you know, selling proposition, unique, you know, USP. So it really has to be a strong story for you to carry that product into these global markets. My advice is really spend time making sure that, you know, the product story resonates and test your products. I think in terms of like market entry into China, some people come in too early and get very frustrated that they haven't seen the sales volume that they would expect. So I typically advise brands to be doing between 25 to 50 million of revenue in their domestic home market before they consider the China market, just because, you know, once you're at that type of revenue, you typically have a team of 15 to 20 people. So your infrastructure can handle managing another global market entry. You know, I was on a call today with a brand that only had 3 people and moving to 5. And there's no way they could operate in China, even with a very strong partner, because, you know, naturally there will be lots of things that will frustrate the business and the relationship. So take your time. You know, there is no rush. And I think, you know, being patient is, and letting the cards fall where they fall, is a mantra that I kind of live by, because the longer time you take, because you end up investing for the longer term rather than trying to invest for the short term.
Did you ever think you would be where you are with Super Ordinary at this point, with the growth sort of as fast as it did?
It's really amazed me. I know I feel extremely lucky, not for many, many reasons. But I feel like one of the learnings I had was hiring the best in class team in China. And it was hard to hire people. But at the time, I think we've been really lucky by building a very strong culture. We'll be close to 500 people by the end of this year. And I'm super excited to have founded this business and work with so many great founding skincare brands and color brands and hair care brands. You know, it's one of the most fun ecosystems that I've ever been introduced to. And, you know, really excited for everyone's growth and really excited for my partnership with Alibaba over the years to come.
Looking ahead, what is your aspirations for Super Ordinary? Where would you like to be?
Our vision is to truly become the global partner for beauty brands in the digital universe. I want to look back and be proud of the work that we have done helping brands localize their brands in the global markets. It's a very big ask and big vision, but I think we can do it. I think 5, 10, 20 years from now, I'd love to see Super Ordinary in every global market with a presence of being the go-to partner to work in China or Southeast Asia or the US. I want to make sure that we do a good job. So it's quality over quantity, really focusing on each brand that we work with and making sure that we understand, you know, some of the, you know, because it's not a straight line. Some brands don't work in China and it takes time to course correct, but we don't want to back out. We want to focus and help them get to their target. So big ambitions. You know, you have to think big. I'm a dreamer, but I'm really excited.
One last question. Do you miss finance?
You know, I miss trading. I love the excitement of it, but I have to say, you know, essentially trading beauty products is even more exciting. So I get my fix from skincare and rather than futures and options now.
Julian Reyes, founder and CEO of Global Beauty Incubator Super Ordinary. The future looks beautiful indeed. Thank you for joining AliCast, and I look forward to seeing all the new brands you bring to China and the US.
Thank you so much for having me, Julie.